We're a lively bunch this morning. Awesome. Well, welcome here. My name's John. I'm one of the pastors, or the pastor here at New Life Community. So glad to see everybody here this morning. We're going to do something a little bit different. It's the long weekend. We're all sort of hopefully feeling in relaxed mode. More importantly, most of the elders are at the lake, and they left me in charge, so I'm going to do whatever I want. And I trust that it's going to be awesome. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to take this service and take some time and just reflect on the beauty of who God is. I want to take some time and I want us to search inside of us and ask ourselves this question: how am I doing? How is my soul this morning? And so I want to read some scripture. And then I'm going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to spend a lot of this morning just worshiping God, just enjoying His presence here in this place. And we're going to receive the elements of communion, and we're going to just think about how awesome Jesus is, how great He is, how amazing the sacrifice that He gave for us. So this morning, I just want to read, I'm going to start us off in Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1, it says, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" So this morning, God, we come to you in this place. We come and we want to appear before you. We as New Life Church want to come and bow our knees before the author and the creator and the sustainer of life. Lord, come. Meet with us in this place, Lord God. Meet with us here this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen. So this week, some of you may have heard there was a hockey player in town. And this hockey player brought something with him, this cool trophy. So some of you may have gone and tried to see Braden Holtby in Lashburn. Did anybody make it out and actually get to meet him? Anybody even try it? No, okay. So apparently lots of people went out to meet Braden Holtby and to get a picture standing beside the Stanley Cup. How cool of an experience would that be to stand beside the most storied trophy in all of sports history? But not only that, but to get to meet a Stanley Cup champion. And so I think it's kind of weird how we get geeked out to meet famous people. It's like they've done something cool. Like that's right on, and that's good, but they're just people like you and I. I don't really get the big deal. And so I'm sitting in Starbucks on Thursday morning, and I'm going over my notes for today and praying and reading and reflecting, and this really tall dude who looks like a hipster comes in, and he's got this big beard, and I'm like, well, that guy's pretty big, bigger than most hipsters. And he walks by, and it just clicks in my mind. I'm like, that's Braden Holtby. And so I'm sitting there, I got my laptop on my lap, and I'm typing my notes, and I'm like, okay, just leave the guy alone. He's probably been bombarded all week with people wanting to talk to him and get pictures with him. And like, just don't be a big nerd and go meet him. And I'm thinking, I'm having this internal debate, and as I'm thinking about meeting a Stanley Cup champion, my heart starts to beat, and it's racing, and I'm starting to get nervous and sweaty. And then I look, and he's already out the door. And I was like, opportunity squandered to meet someone famous. It's kind of weird how I got so flustered to meet a guy who plays hockey. I mean, I love hockey, and it's cool to meet hockey players. But I thought, do I get worked up at the thought of gathering with my family to meet with God? Do I get excited on Sunday to meet with God, with my brothers and sisters? And so this morning, as we think about meeting with God, as we come into this place, I want you to ask yourself, how's my soul doing? How's my soul doing? Because we meet here every Sunday, And we come in, we sing a couple songs, and then we get coffee, we shake hands, and we sing a couple more songs. And then a bald guy stands up and talks for a while, and then we sing more songs, and then we go home. And so sometimes I think we can go through this routine on Sunday mornings and nothing happens. We sing songs and that's great, and we preach messages and that's awesome. But did we meet with God? Did we have an encounter with the great and mighty God? Because God is here. God is ready to meet with us. God invites us into a relationship with us. And not only that, he goes further. And he says that he wants to do something in our lives. And so this morning I want to start our worship time off before we sing with a portion of scripture that's really been on my heart lately. And so I'm going to read it in a literal translation of scripture. This is a translation of what the words of Jesus literally would have been. And then I want to read it in a paraphrase, almost an artistic way of reading the scripture. And so Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to start in verse 27. And it says this: "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." New Life, I want us to just read this and take a deep breath and think about these words coming from our Savior. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is how Eugene Peterson rephrases this. And there's some questions here, and as we read these questions, I want you to ask yourself, does this apply to me? So the first question: are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? And then here's the invitation: come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And so Jesus, this morning, with hands open, I pray, God, that we would come to you. I pray that we would take our tiredness, our anxiety, our stress, and we would exchange that for what you have for us in this place, Lord God. Because you give us something in this life, but what you give is not a heavy burden. What you give doesn't weigh us down, but what you give us is freedom. And so, God, in this place, help us to learn the unforced rhythms of your grace. Lord God, as we worship you in this place this morning, open our hearts and set us free. I'm going to invite you all back to your seats. We're gonna get back into it here in just a second. So come on back, bring your coffees, have a seat. It's okay. That sounded good.
Yeah, you're sounding good.
I try. All right. So we're going to go into a book of scripture that I don't think gets enough credit for being a really awesome book. It's one of those historical books of the Bible, 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles, God has this, he shows up in this vision or dream, but he speaks to King Solomon. And he sort of poses this, I don't want to say deal, but he presents Solomon with this statement. And it's this statement that's been kind of bouncing around in my mind over the last couple weeks. And for me, this statement is more of a question for my life. And as I've been praying about it and really, really seeking God around this scripture, it's kind of become my prayer for new life. And it starts off with this question. So for me, it's a question. What if my people pray? What if my people pray? What if new life becomes a place of prayer? What if we become people who are so devoted to speaking to and hearing from God? What would happen to us as a family? And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're going to start in verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night, and he said to them, I have heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. See, Solomon had this plan. Actually, it was David's plan. It was his father's plan. And David said, God, I live in this beautiful place, but you have a tent to dwell in. And so David wanted to build God this amazing place that would represent God's dwelling place on earth. And God said, well, David, you've got a lot of blood on your hands, and so I'm not going to let you do it, but your son can do it. And so David emptied out his treasury, and he gave it all to his son. And he said, Solomon, I want you to build a temple for the Lord. And so Solomon has spent, in what we would know as today's standards, millions and millions and millions of dollars. Spent years and years constructing this temple for God. All with the hopes of God saying, yes, I will choose this place. And so God shows up to Solomon one night after it has been built. After it has been built. And he said, I've heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So this morning, maybe you're like me and you're feeling like your soul is a little dry. That through ever what circumstance has come into your life, you feel a little bit empty. And you say, God, I need your rain. God, I need your moisture. My lawn doesn't need any more moisture. I've got mushrooms growing. I need some sun. But sometimes my soul, it feels so dry. Maybe you've been searching hard to figure out a why in your life. Maybe you've been searching so hard to figure out what's next, what's happening. Maybe you've been asking, what's going on, Lord? Maybe you've been asking God for a long time to find healing for a broken part of your life, maybe broken relationships. And so God appears to Solomon, and he gives Solomon this statement. And this is a statement that invites us down a path of healing and hearing. God invites us down a path of healing and hearing. Because our souls, it's not just that we can receive healing in an instant. Well, I mean, sometimes that can happen. God can do miraculous work. But I think our souls often heal up much like our bodies do. It takes time. It takes intentionality. And so God says, if you want to heal, God says, if you want to hear from me, then I want you to do these things. God says, I want you to start off by humbling yourself. And God gives us this opportunity to humble ourselves before him. And really what God is saying is, you don't need to feel the pressure of control. So many times when I am at my most stressed in life, it's because I'm trying to control a situation or an outcome. And God says, if you would humble yourself, if you would humble yourself, you would start to find the answer. As we worship the Lord this morning, let's take a posture of humility before God and just release that stuff that we long to control. God says that if we pray and God, would you give me this? God, I need an answer, and the same response comes from God. It's not the answer that I want. It's not even a direction. But God just keeps on saying, you need more of me. You need more of me. We need less of ourselves and more of him. We need to get out of our own heads and start to listen. God, we know that in this place you are healing hearts right now, and we praise you for that work that only you can do. Lord God, I pray that as we continue to worship, God, that you would pour out your healing on this place, and Lord God, would we be able to hear a word from you as well? Lord God, would we be able to listen to a word from you? Lord God, would you speak to us as a body? Lord God, would you speak to us? Make our hearts ready for what you want to say to this church. Please, Jesus, speak to us this morning. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Scripture has given us some instructions of why and how we come to the Lord's Supper. First, we come and we're instructed to receive this with gratitude. That every time we take the elements of communion, we do so with a grateful heart, and we stand in awe that the author, creator, and sustainer of life entered into this mess. And he lived a perfect and sinless life. And he went to the cross. He submitted to his Father's plans. This morning, as we were getting things set up and ready, Liam, Glenn's son, he came and he asked me what this is for. And it was just this reminder as I was like, oh yeah, what is it for? You know, it's one of those things that we do it so often, but do we pause and we really think that this is the way that we remember that Jesus' blood was the only blood that could be spilled so that we could be made right in the sight of God? And when we take this bread, do we really remember that Jesus was whipped, was beaten within an inch of his life, had a crown of thorns pressed into his skull, and then carried across up a hill? His body was so brutalized that they could barely recognize that it was Jesus. And so we remember this morning the phrase that the Apostle Paul used when he referred to the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, which when translated means grateful. And so we remember Jesus this morning with a grateful heart. Paul goes on to say in verse 27, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves then. Let a person examine themselves then, so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. See, without the body and the blood, there's no way that our relationship with God could be made right. But that's not the only relationship that God's concerned about, because God is also the author of peace, and so we can make ourselves at peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins, but then we so follow suit, and we take that peace into our relationships with our brothers and sisters. And so Paul says we come to the table, and we come to the table with grateful hearts, but we also come with an attitude of repentance. And this is a verse that we don't talk about very often, because it's kind of heavy. We don't like to talk about eating or drinking judgment upon ourselves, but God makes it very clear that before we come and we receive the elements, that we need to make things right with our brothers and sisters. We also need to make things right with ourselves. And so this morning we're going to do something a little different, because that's just the theme of the morning. Instead of the elders coming and handing out communion and taking this together at the end, I'm gonna open this up, and I want you to spend some time before you come and get the cup and the bread, and come to the Lord in repentance. Seek his face with gratitude. And if there is a brother or sister in this room that you need to talk to this morning, do so. There's a brother or sister that you need to talk to, that you need to ask for forgiveness, and they're not here, then take it to the Lord. If you need to relieve someone of something that they have done to you, something that you're holding on, I invite you to give that person forgiveness, because holding on to it does yourself no favors. If you need to seek someone in forgiveness and say, I have wronged you, I know I have done that, then you need to pray to God, ask him for forgiveness, and then seek that person out today after you make this place. And so as you are ready, I invite you to come and take the body and take the blood. And when you are ready, take them by yourself in prayerful consideration of what they stand for. We have a couple more songs left this morning, and so if you need to take a few minutes, that's okay. Take your time, pray. So right now, we're going to continue worshiping the Lord through song, and as we do so, church, spend some time in awe and wonder of the Savior who would leave his place in glory and come and submit himself, come and take the form of a servant, and have his body brutally beaten, and have his blood shed.